This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move on into Galatians with Introduction to Galatians, No Other Gospel, Paul's Call, Paul's first visit to Jerusalem, and Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. For it is to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 44. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah to us in our Old Testament reading for today. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. The Lord, the God of all history, the one who is the first and the last, the Redeemer of Israel, issues a challenge to those who hear these words for today. He issues a challenge to those who might think that they are gods or they can trust in some other god. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen, he says. In other words, let them tell the future. Let them say what is to come, what will happen in the future. And man has taken up that challenge at various times in history. As man tries to predict what is to come, as man tries to predict what he, who is not the first and the last, cannot see. I remember seeing a magazine article from 1954 that predicted what the computer of 2004, 50 years later, would look like. And they were trying to predict the home computer, what it would be like to have a computer in your home. And in the picture, there was an 8-foot-tall by 4-foot-wide panel with all kinds of knobs and buttons and a wheel and a computer keyboard set out in the hallway. And they said you would have to know multiple languages to be able to use your home computer. Now we can laugh at such predictions, but do we make the same predictions about the future as well? There are other predictions that man has made in the past as well that have not come true. For example, when man tried to predict that World War I was going to be the war to end all wars, wouldn't it have been nice if that did come true? But it didn't. We cannot accurately predict what is to come. Yes, we can make guesses about what might happen in the future based on what has happened in the past and what we observe here about the natural world, but we cannot accurately predict what is to come. And we must be on our guard against setting our hopes on such predictions or falling into despair over such predictions. On the one hand, then, there is a warning here against human pride and hubris that says, we know what will happen. We know that we will accomplish these things. To make grand plans about how much we will accomplish. In this, we must be on our guard against human pride and say, no, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. If it is the Lord's will, these plans will succeed. If it is the Lord's will, this strategic plan will come to fruition. And so, we should begin all our plans on our knees. We should begin all of our plans by listening first to what our Lord has said in His Word, what He says about the future, because He is the one who is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And only He can tell us accurately, perfectly, with complete precision, what is going to happen in the future. And we submit all our plans to Him. Every day when we get up, we should, as we do in Luther's morning prayer, commend ourselves to our Lord and pray for His blessing on our day. Pray that He would keep us from sin this day, that His will would be done, that His kingdom would come, that His name would be hallowed. That we set ourselves under our Lord's care and commend ourselves to Him. But not only should we be warned against human pride here, we also should receive comfort. Because human predictions about the future can also cause us to wring our hands in anxiety and despair, especially when we hear the latest poll on what people believe from Pew or Barna. The latest statistic on how many people are going to church or not going to church, or how many more nuns, N-O-N-E-S, there are. When we see all of these things in our day and age, we might be tempted to fall into despair and to wonder what we will do or what someone else should do or what the next committee or task force should do to try to fix the problem. And in all of this, we turn to ourselves or to someone else. We trust in someone else as our God, rather than submitting ourselves once again to our Lord and believing that all our times are in His hands. That He sees when we sit and when we rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar. Before a word is on our tongue, He knows it completely. That all the days ordained for us were written in His book before one of them came to be. And that He has given His Son into death for us. And He cares for us. And we know that He will take care of us because His Son has come to this earth to suffer and die in our place, to rise again, and that He, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and governing all things. If we truly believe that He is our rock, that He is our fortress and our deliverer, then we need not fear. Though the earth give way, though the mountains be thrown into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, all of these things should not lead us to despair, to anxiety, to hand-wringing, because our Lord is in charge. And so you too should not fear as you look at the future, as you wonder who's going to get elected in November, as you wonder what's going to happen with this war or that war or with the economy, or you wonder what's going to happen to the church, or even as you wonder what's going to happen in a month. When you, some of you, walk across this chancel and you hear a name called, and some of you may be trying to predict that future. I remember trying to predict that future too, and I was wrong. A friend and I tried to predict who was going to receive which call, and we were sadly mistaken, or maybe not so sadly, because the Lord was in charge, and His will was done, and He provided for us, and He took care of us. And we could not have known what sort of joys or sorrows or blessings the Lord would provide for us in those places. And He did provide. And He will provide for you. And you do not need to think that because of your own efforts, you will be able to form the perfect parish or the perfect future. But you know that the Lord will take care of you. And you do not need to fear as you watch the statistics what is going to happen to the church in America or to the Missouri Synod. You know that the Lord has the future in His hands. And He actually confirms the fact here in our reading for today that He has the future in His hands by giving a prediction about the future. He says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, 'I am the Lord's.' Another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, 'The Lord's,' and name himself by the name of Israel." The Lord made a promise about what is going to happen in the future. And the Lord fulfilled His promise by pouring out His Spirit at Pentecost and continuing to pour out His Spirit week after week, even day after day, upon people who are baptized in His name and are called by His name, marked as His own. And we will see this fulfilled in all of its fullness when our Lord comes again in glory. And we see all who are the Lord's. And we see the water poured on the thirsty ground. And we see that all who belong to the Lord, who have the Spirit, are living in His presence forever. The Lord has made His promises about the future. And He alone can be trusted to keep His promises. And so we should set our stock by what He says. We should not either set our stock by human plans and purposes or by doomsday predictions, but say, "The Lord has promised that He will come again and He will rescue His people. He promised that He would send His Son, and He did it. And He promises that His Son will come again, and He will do it. And everything will then be made right. And in the meantime, the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. He promised it. He's going to do it. He promises that the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations. He promised. He's going to do it. You don't need to be afraid, even as some of you prepare to be sent out as laborers in the midst of the harvest field. The Lord has promised. He has told you what the end of the story is. Your job is to do your duty, to proclaim His word, to share it with others, and not worry what others may say, not worry when human predictions fall apart, and not worry when everything seems to be falling apart now. The Lord has promised. He is faithful. He is our rock. There is no God like Him. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that of your great goodness and mercy, your only begotten Son became incarnate to redeem us from sin and everlasting death. Enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may forever give you thanks for your grace and be strengthened in all times of tribulation and temptation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.